Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
You know, it's I know that sometimes life has certain challenges that present itself, but then moments like these, when we fill up a room, and even though our auditorium is out of commission, yet we're here. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to see that love and to see that devotion that we have to our God, that whether we are in a small room, whether we're in an auditorium, no matter the circumstances, that we want to be here. That we have a desire to want to be together. And as our brother noted earlier, it also comes off in our singing with one another. So thank you all for being here this evening. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. And we're going to be taking our thoughts from verses 4 and forward. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Notice verse 8, which is where we're going to tie everything together. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The four scriptures that we have read, if you paid close attention to them, all of them are focused, or all of them are tied, because they are Christians who were remembered for their fruits in the Lord. If you notice in 2 John, we see that the children of the elect lady brought great joy to John because they were walking in love. Then we read in Acts chapter 9 of Tabitha, known as Dorcas, who when she passed away, many wept and they still had remnants of what she had done. And they would show Peter of her works. Then Philippians, we see how the brethren of Philippi became very worried for Epaphroditus, a man whose work, the Apostle Paul says, is to be esteemed, and men such as himself are to be held in great esteem. And then we close the circle with 3 John. But once again, we see that Gaius is remembered by John, and he brought joy to Gaius's heart, or John's heart, because he had heard that Gaius walked in truth. Brethren, when we study this and we read it, notice that verse 8 is indeed what is taking place with those four examples that were chosen. God was glorified in every one of them. God was glorified because their works were known not only by the writer who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but all four of those people, they were told or they had been heard of what these people had done. Paul had heard about Epaphroditus. We see that John had heard both about the children of the elect lady and Gaius. And then Peter was told about Tabitha, about the things that she had done. You see, when we read about these people, brethren, what we see then is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in action. Our brother just prayed about us being doers of the word. Observe how in verse 4, Jesus begins by saying that in him, and him and us, is how a branch comes to bear fruit. All four of these people, what had in common is that all of them abided in the Lord, but the Lord also abided in them. It was a reciprocal relationship. Just like a branch cannot survive without its roots, the roots need to sprout the branch in order to spread the nutrients. But the purpose and the reason of why this is necessary is because we see that Jesus makes it very clear that the purpose for teaching us this is that we have to bear fruit. We are not just branches with leaves to make the tree look well. It is not just our responsibility to make a tree have an appearance of healthiness, but rather our fruit and the quality of our fruit is what's going to determine whether that tree is healthy or not. Notice, brethren, that all four of the examples that we read brought glory to God. Because the fruit that Gaius, the fruit that the elect lady's children, the fruit that Dorcas, the fruit that Epaphroditus had offered was a sweet, savory fruit that brought the Creator great joy. Because He is the vine dresser. It is His property. The vineyard belongs to Him. And we, brethren, as the vineyard of God, belong to God. Therefore, this evening, I want us to meditate on the following question. What are my examples doing for God tonight? Am I bringing glory to God's name through my good works? Am I bringing glory and making the world recognize and acknowledge that indeed God, as the ultimate vine dresser, knows what He is doing? Well, how can I then be like these people that we read about today? What is being heard about me across the world? What is being heard about me in the world today? When the world sees me, do they see a branch on a vineyard with sweet, succulent fruit? Or am I withered away? And do they see very petty, perhaps even sour grapes on my branches? What are my fruits speaking of on my behalf? You see, brethren, when we go, if you will, please go back to Philippians chapter 2. Choosing the example of Epaphroditus first, pay attention to the fact that here Paul brings this up in verses 25 and in verse 20 through verse 27. It says, "Yet I considered necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Epaphroditus, brethren, was the one who was sick. He was the one who was about to die had he not been healed. But yet the patient was worried about those who were afraid that he would die. Notice the character of Epaphroditus is described by verse 26. The moment he became healthy, he wanted to personally reassure them that he was okay, that they had no reason to sorrow anymore. He wanted to thank them for their prayers. The character of this man brought joy when he was able to recover from his infirmity. But when he became sick, it brought sorrow not only to an entire congregation, but to the Apostle Paul himself. How instrumental, how essential was Epaphroditus to the Apostle that Paul mentions there in verse 27 that had he died, it would have been sorrow upon sorrow. Brethren, when we leave this world, will our absence leave an indelible mark in the hearts of our brethren? Will we be remembered for many years to come? And for what reason will we be remembered? Will it be spoken of us that we died too late because it couldn't have come sooner enough because we were always a pest, if you will. We were always a nuisance. You know, this brings to my memory a contrast where we see in the book of Kings where there was a king who died and the Bible says, and no one wept nor mourned for him. That's sad to read that the Holy Spirit records this about this king. What kind of man was this king? What kind of character did this king have that his own nation didn't miss him? They chose to forget him, so much so that they didn't even mark a grave for him. And yet here we have a man of the position of Epaphroditus, whose name is remembered by the Holy Spirit because of the fruits that he bore on behalf of the Lord. A man who showed us that he cared more about those whose lives he touched than his own personal health. Notice in verse 29 and 30, it says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. We don't know what happened with Epaphroditus. We don't know why he got sick or how he got sick. But what we do know is that it was in service of the Lord. Now remember, any fruit or any branch that does not abide in me cannot bear fruit on by itself. Then furthermore, the Bible says that Jesus declared, "Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit." Epaphroditus was abiding in the Lord by putting his own body on the line for the Lord. Very literally. Same is true with Tabitha. Tabitha is called as a disciple. And she had perished. So much was her absence, and so great was the pain of her no longer being around, that the Bible says that the widows would show Peter. Now, pay attention to that. What group missed Tabitha the most? The widows. Those who usually were left alone. Those who usually didn't have anyone really to show support or bring them any kind of comfort. Tabitha now was not only there in their lives, but she made sure that they knew that they were cared for by making for them those types of cloths that they had. How special were these actions of this woman? That for these widows, they brought these to Peter to see her works. To speak of the character of this woman. What kind of fruits are we bringing in for the Lord? Will we be remembered for always complaining? Will we be remembered for always being the negative Nancy? Will we be remembered because we always saw the pessimistic side and not the optimistic side? Will we be remembered for being discouragers instead of encouragers? You know, just like there are sons of encouragement, there are also sons of discouragement. But observe, brethren. Observe how Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, if you will, go with me. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 and verse 13, once more proves to be true when we read of those four examples. The Bible reads, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Now remember, brethren, that these four examples that we chose for our devotional tonight demonstrate to us people who brought joy in the lives of others. People who, when they entered a room, the room would light up because people were glad to see them. People who actually wanted to be received by everyone. Because they were people who were not busybodies. They were people who were not selfish or only thought about themselves. But we read that all four of these examples were always looking for the greater good of their brethren, even in peril of their own lives. They always sought to serve and not be served. And hence the Bible says that where God is glorified, God too then will exalt on that day. You see, a branch that is fruitful and a branch that becomes even more fruitful, the vine dresser will make sure to prune and care for. He will be very careful not to remove that branch from that vine because it is very fruitful. It is from that branch where he sees how the minerals and the nutrients are truly rich because it brings not only much fruit, but it brings perhaps the sweetest fruit that it can possibly be. And it's a consistency that every time that fruit is removed from its branch, it does it again every season. And it isn't a one-off or it isn't accidental, but we see that it is something that it continuously does on a seasonal basis in terms of vineyards as we speak. Brethren, how many of us are consistent with our good works? Or are we only good, or do we only perform good works when there are people around watching us so that they can say that we're good? When we're at home, do we remove the cloak of Christianity and go back to carnality? How many of us, brethren, are consistent on our good works? How many of us only do good works when our guilt is touched upon? When we are ashamed because we hear that we should be growing and doing more. And for the moment, we are active. And for the moment, because our conscience hurts, we do it. But then, just as quickly, we stop giving forth good fruits. See, that is not a fruitful branch. That, brethren, is a branch that is diseased. It is a branch that cannot be relied upon. You see, John wrote to Gaius because Gaius was someone that could be depended on. Gaius' reputation was because he was always the same man, even with those Christians he didn't know. He was always a man who stood on truth, who walked in truth, who showed hospitality. He was not conditional. He was not a man of convenience, nor was he a man who did it because he could get something in return. His devotion was to the Lord and not to man. Gaius was not a Diotrephes that we see in 3 John. Gaius was not a Diotrephes who wanted the first seats. Diotrephes did it because he wanted the power, he wanted the position, he wanted to please men rather than God. But that is not a fruitful branch. Because that, brethren, is a branch that if one day we are very hungry and we go thinking that it is fruitful, like Jesus with the fig tree, we're going to find only empty leaves that deceived us. The Lord tells us, brethren, that the reason for a branch to be fruitful is not so that the branch can be held in high esteem. No. But because our Father who is in heaven is glorified because of our obedience, because of our consistency, because of our sincere devotion to Him. Our responsibility, brethren, as Christians, is to be the light of the world and to be the salt of the earth. But it isn't so that we can be exalted by man. And it isn't so that we can be recognized or that people can remember us when we die at a funeral. Because what man may or may not remember doesn't count if it is not in the memory of our God. And if you see, brethren, our God tells us here in Revelation 14:13 that He'll remember, that our works will follow us even into eternity. Because remember that within the context, he's talking about those Christians who had been martyred because of the sake of the gospel in the first century. Brethren, today we still speak about Peter. We still speak about Paul. We speak about Moses and we speak about David, about Jeremiah and Micah. We speak of Zechariah and all of these great names that are found not only in the Hall of Faith, but in the Book of Life. And the reason we remember them is because God's mind still remembers their works. And not only does God keep them in their memory, but He tells us, go and do the same. If you have a devoted life like these people did, you too will remain in my memory. And not only mine, but in the memory of those saints who are trying to also accomplish my will. As we see, brethren, we read in Scripture how what we do matters. How our example will either bring glory to God or it will bring dishonor to God. We must be careful that our branches are not only fruitful when there are others watching it. We must be fruitful that the quality of our fruit is not sour grapes. but that as we continuously and on a consistency bring forth fruit to our God, that our fruit will be quality that brings honor and glory to the vine dresser. You see, when someone says that the fruit from that vine is the best there could be, they don't give honor and glory to the tree, do they? They don't say, this is the greatest tree that has ever been made. No, they say, the best fruit you can get from so-and-so's vineyard. The best quality and tasting types of grapes you can find at so-and-so's vineyard. The vine dresser gets the glory, doesn't he? He's the one that gets the acknowledgement. And he is the one that gets the credit. So tonight, brethren, as we bring ourselves to our close, what do we want the world to remember us for? More importantly, how do we want to be remembered by our God? Are we a branch that brings forth on a consistent and daily basis good fruit? Or are we inconsistent where some seasons we bring fruit, other seasons we don't? Some seasons our fruit is sweet and savory, other seasons they're dry and sour. Or will we be a branch that the vine dresser is very careful to tend to? Because every season, we not only bring fruit, but we bring more fruit with each season that passes. Our growth, brethren, should be known by all. And our growth should bring honor and glory to our God. But if we are not growing, remember that the opposite is just as true. We bring dishonor to God. We bring shame upon His name. And this is what happened with the children of Judah. When we read in the book of Ezekiel how Paul in Romans chapter 2 quotes the prophet Ezekiel, "My name was blasphemed among the Gentiles because of my people." Do we want to bring glory to the Father? Or do we want to bring shame to His name? Friend, if you are amongst us, right now you are unknown to our Father. To you in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through forward, to you Jesus says, "I know ye not." He has no recollection of your name and He has no knowledge of whom you are, because you do not belong to Him. You are not a sheep of His flock. But today your name could be learned by our God. Tonight, your name could be written in the book of life. And from that point forward, after you've obeyed in the waters of baptism, together we can work to make sure that all of our names remain written in the book of life. But it begins by being and abiding in the true vine, who is Jesus Christ. "Outside of me," says the Lord, "you can bear no fruit." We have to be in Him. We have to belong to Him. And we have to follow His example in order to give forth fruit. What about you, my brother or my sister? Has your example been a poor one? Or has your example been nothing more than a branch with lofty leaves, but there is truly no figs in you? Have you done everything because you want to be praised by men instead of giving praise and glory to God? Tonight you can repent. Tonight you can turn that leaf. Tonight you can begin to bring glory and honor to God, because it is for Him that we serve, and it is because of Him that we are honored to serve. If there's anyone here tonight who is subject to this invitation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.